Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Shad here, your host for this weekend edition. Also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. On this weekend show, you can look forward to more bigger picture comments on the commodity sector. We're going to start off with metals and mining, and in the second half of the show, we're going to transition over to the energy sector. Simply because, look, I know a lot of our listeners care about both of those areas, and quite frankly, both of those areas are doing quite well, especially from the underlying commodity price and some companies, maybe more so in the energy sector, but we are starting off with Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Now, Matt, as I mentioned, we're focusing more on metals and mining. Let's start with gold. As we're recording this, gold still holding up above 2,000. Keeps sniffing at breaking to all-time highs. Hasn't quite done that yet. But, Matt, we're getting so many questions from people saying, is this move in gold real? Will it finally break out? And more importantly, will it finally hold those breakout levels? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's good to be back on the program, Corey. Thanks for having me. Frankly, I do think that this gold move is real, and there's a few factors here. The first is that each proper move in precious metals, when you look back historically, has begun from a point of capitulation. Just look, think late 2015 before the, you know, crazy 9 months that we had between January and, you know, late Q3 2016. Think February, March 2020 with the absolute COVID panic that we saw that set the stage for a rip-roaring rally between, you know, April 2020 through, you know, late 2020. We'll say September 2020. And I think we saw the same thing here. Think of September, October of last year. We had just experienced a grinding two-year drawdown in precious metals and precious metal equities when a lot of the rest of the metal complex, at least for the majority of that period, were outperforming. Folks were losing faith. And not only that, we saw the actual price of physical gold fall for seven consecutive months. I believe it was between March and September of 2022, which hasn't happened in at least 40 years, and I'm quite a bit longer than that to my understanding, but at least 40 years. So sentiment was at a very low level come October, and it's been a powerful move since. You know, a second factor that makes me think this move is real is that it's playing out largely as it should. So far, you will have seen that the physical metals, you know, gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, the major ETFs, the GDX, GDXJ, SIL, SILG, and the blue chip precious metal miners and the blue chip streamers have gotten most all of the attention. And that's normal for the early stage of a proper move in precious metals. I'll call attention to Mike Horner on Twitter. He put out a good tweet, and he's a good follow, showing that the large miners beta to gold that we've seen since late Q3 or early Q4 of last year is right in line with what we've seen in previous precious metal rallies, roughly 2x beta. So all is going to plan, and we've yet to see the move really trickle down to the juniors, which we can get into in a little bit. The contrarian in me actually isn't too disappointed about that, even though we are heavily weighted within MJG to juniors with a median market cap of around, you know, 50 million US, we'll say 60 million Canadian as it stands. But that to me actually speaks to the potential longevity of this move. And, you know, the final factor here is just the macro backdrop that we have. It's frankly perfect between central bank buying of gold. Last year we saw record volumes of gold bought by central banks, more in any single year going all the way back to the early 1950s when records were first started being kept for this. And this buying has continued at least through Q1 2023. We have public doubts about the Western banking system thanks to the high-profile failures and bailouts that we've seen with Signature Bank, First Republic, SVB, and you know, most importantly, Credit Suisse. That's all just occurred in the past 8 to 12 weeks here. We have the Fed's historic rate hiking campaign coming to its end point. Whether there's one or two hikes remaining, if that really misses the point, we've gone from 0 to 5% in a very short period of time, and we are right at the end game here. That's supportive of gold. And then, of course, the looming debt ceiling fight, which the market knows is on the horizon, but we've yet to really see it make headlines. But that'll change. Janet Yellen, all the way back in January, was warning that we're going to start having issues funding our obligations as soon as June of 2023. So really just 60 days away from her date. And, yeah, due to the dynamics in the Republican-controlled House, as well as the lesson learned by the Biden White House from the Obama administration, that it's not in Democrats' interest to negotiate whatsoever about debt ceiling increases, I think this one is truly going to go to the brink. Odds are that they will come to a resolution ultimately, but that's not a guarantee. And there's a non-zero chance of at least a pseudo default here. So I really can't think of a more potent macro backdrop for a continued move in precious metals prices.
Yeah, Matt, you really summed it up well there. And if people think back to the last time the debt ceiling debate got this heated, or people are postulating it'll get that heated, it was back in 2011 when gold actually broke out to a new all-time high in the previous cycle. And the precious metals have done well. As you noted, I mean, gold's up $400 from where it bottomed in November at 1618. It's over 2020 today, so at the time of this recording. And silver has gone from 1740 up over 25. So big moves in the metals. As you mentioned, the big boy miners, the royalty and streaming companies have gotten a bid. That is normal to see capital flow into the larger cap companies first. Yep. But Matt, you touched on something I want to hit on. I want to get your thoughts on, and that is the juniors. You know, a lot of people are still looking at their portfolios, and some people are petting their precious mining stocks, saying, what about my junior? When's it going to move? So maybe just speak to how you look at that and how the cycle playing through, that, you know, eventually the capital will trickle down into the earlier stage companies.
Yeah, well put, Chad. And look, I understand the frustration. I'll actually say that MJG had a very strong Q1, but that was more driven by a couple specific major outperformers within the portfolio, rather than a rising tide lifting all boats scenario. So I do feel that frustration. You know, I'm looking today at the MJG portfolio. Half of it's in the red today, even though we have gold up and silver up, and the general markets also in a risk and on move. But that's just the way that this works, though. In a proper precious metals move, and I do believe that this move is for real, you will ultimately see the juniors play catch up and then some. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised actually, if we see this move beginning over the next 4 to 8 weeks. So I think we're closer to the juniors moving than not. You know, right now there's a major amount of financing activity going on. Maybe we can touch on that in more detail. But I think over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, we're going to see a lot of juniors cash up. I think they will be successful in many of these financing endeavors. And there's going to be a ton of news flow over the next 6 months. So that combination of news flow and a positive macro backdrop for precious metals, I think it's just a question of time.
All right, Matt, we're going to have to wrap up the first segment here. But again, very constructive comments for the precious metals price, and even getting into some of the stocks in the next segment. We will get more into the precious metals stocks and also take a step away from just gold to see what other metal companies you have in the MJG portfolio and how you view some of these critical minerals that have garnered a lot more attention and that we're focusing more on, simply because clearly there is a market there for these companies, even though you could make the argument that it's early on and some of these stocks have already been through too large of a move. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Matt Geiger.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Your week.
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Now, Matt, another quick question regarding precious metal stocks and the juniors.
There's so many juniors out there right now. I'm sure people are saying, look, I already have positions in some. Quite frankly, very few of the juniors have bucked the trend. The ones that have, well, they've been outperforming the sector for a while. What stocks, if you are out there kind of bottom fishing, what do you look for in a junior, considering a lot of them are looking to raise money? A lot of them say they're onto something, but what sets apart some of them?
Sure. Well, I mean, it comes down to people first, and I want to emphasize every single investment in the junior space should start with who is at the helm of the company, how well they're incentivized, how they got their shares, how many other obligations they have, whether they've succeeded previously in something that resembles the task at hand. You've got to start there. As I mentioned, I also like to assume spot metal prices when looking at the given asset. So even though I am bullish on gold and silver prices, I would encourage folks when they're evaluating specific, you know, development stage projects or producers not to get too greedy with their metal price assumptions. But when you're deciding, when you found a name that you like, and you're deciding whether and when to initiate a position, the key to look for is catalysts. And if the company has enough cash to take them into 2024, and there's one to two major potential share price catalysts in the calendar, then I think that's a great candidate for open market buying. Conversely, it can be a name that checks all the boxes. Good people, good asset, good company structure, exciting catalysts over the next year. But if they don't have enough money to get to at least that next catalyst, and preferably a couple potential share price catalysts, then my recommendation would be to sit on one's hands, wait for their next financing opportunity, and then you can take your shot there. And if you're an investor that's not able to participate in private placements, then, you know, maybe it's best to focus on juniors that have exceptionally long runways. Or, you know, there's some companies out there that won't have to raise for a number of years. That's obviously the exception and not the norm within the junior space, but they're out there.
Outside of the precious metals, though, I know you also follow the battery metal space pretty closely. You know, things like copper, nickel, lithium, you know, anything catching your eye in those sectors right now?
Sure. Well, I would say generally, I'm a bit cautious on the rest of the metal cycle. And that's based on the assumption, and this may be an entirely incorrect assumption, that we will see continued turbulence in global equities going forward, and that the slowdown in economic growth has really yet to bite, at least in the Western world. So, you know, when it comes to metals like lithium, for instance, where there's just been an absolute boom of speculative activity, a ton of money put into exploring for new projects and, you know, fast-pacing development stage projects towards production. And then you also look at where lithium is going into, and sure, there are plenty of applications around the world, but the key driver right now is electric vehicles. And if you're going into a global slowdown scenario where we're going to see a cutback in consumer spending, I would be particularly cautious about the metals. You know, lithium you can throw into that bucket, rare earth metals perhaps, tin even, where the key drivers of demand are consumer electronics or consumer items like electric vehicles. You know, conversely, there are metals like copper, for instance, or vanadium, where the picture's a bit more murky because the demand sources for these metals, at least as it stands, are much more for industrial applications and for infrastructure buildouts in particular. And so even if there's a slowdown in consumer demand globally, we know for sure that there's a major infrastructure buildout occurring within the United States. And we also know that the Chinese economy is going, you know, from an absolute stop to full steam ahead in the matter of just a few months here. We're just getting out of the Chinese New Year. Really, regardless of whether we see Chinese consumer activity pick up the way that it could. We do know already that the Chinese government is going to, they've already committed to 20% more infrastructure and government capital spend this year than they did last year. And the ultimate number is probably going to be quite a bit higher than that. So I think they're going to make sure to hit 5% and aim for 6% growth over the course of 2023. And so it's a bit of a mixed picture for these other metals that are kind of caught in an interesting tug of war between infrastructure demand going, you know, very high this year in China compared to a slowdown in the rest of the world. And at least when it comes to copper, which as it stands is the largest metal by weighting within the MJG portfolio, I'd probably lean towards copper being the exception, at least out of the rest of the, much of the rest of the metals complex, and would side with the Trafiguras and the Glencores and, you know, the Richard Adkersons from Freeport of the world, who are projecting that we may see quite the squeeze in copper prices over the next 6 or 12 months, largely irrespective of consumer demand around the world. There's just not enough supply that is remotely close to being brought online, and there's copper being demanded from all different sectors of the economy.
Matt, this times perfectly with actually a dinner I was having last night with a friend that runs a copper development company. He also is an advisor on a number of other copper companies. And he was telling me about the resource that they have. And we were talking IRR for porphyry assets, copper assets. And he was just saying that, look, pretty much every good porphyry asset has an IRR after tax of in the 20% range, 20 up to 25%. And I was telling him that just doesn't seem to move the needle for investors. How do you go about analyzing copper assets, defined projects, defined deposits that probably or at least are close to some economics? How do you go about analyzing those?
I will say, and this is somewhat unique within our portfolio because we do own plenty of what I consider high quality development projects, right? I would define a high quality development project as an asset that has an initial CapEx that is well below after-tax NPV, assuming reasonable metal prices and a reasonable discount rate, an after-tax IRR that is north and hopefully well north of 25%, and a payback of less than 3 years after tax. This is obviously a high bar on all three of those fronts, but there are assets out there that check all three of those boxes. Those are the types of assets that you can be confident that subject to permitting and social licensing going positively, and that's a big catalyst, that those projects can be brought online this cycle, either by the current development stage company that owns it, or it can be sold to a larger company and then advance from there.
All right, Matt, we are out of time for this segment on the radio. Great chatting with you as always. For everyone listening on the radio, visit our website or podcast to hear this full interview with Matt Geiger. We go another probably 10 minutes diving into the copper space. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back, shifting our focus to energy.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and 6 kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Former President Donald Trump slamming President Biden's calls for gun control. He spoke at the NRA convention yesterday.
I was proud to be the most pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment president you've ever had in the White House. I think that's been acknowledged. And with your support in 2024, I will be your loyal friend and fearless champion once again as the 47th president of the United States.
The five-day-old strike by professors at Rutgers University is over. Classes should resume normal on Monday morning. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy said there have been negotiations all week to get to this point. There was one winning ticket matching all six numbers drawn in last night's Mega Millions drawing. That ticket worth $476 million. Corey Myers, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Now, as promised, we are shifting our focus for the second half of this show to the energy sector. Oil and gas commentary from our good friend Dan Steffens, president of the Energy Prospectus Group. Dan, let's start with oil, because boy, oh boy, it was a very short-term breakdown that oil had in the month of March. In the middle of March, oil dropped as low as about $64 a barrel, but then has gone almost straight up in the second half of March and is continuing to move higher in April, now over $82, $83 a barrel. That $81 a barrel level was pretty stiff resistance throughout this year. Now, a lot of this move, at least recently, really got going on the surprise cut by OPEC when they cut production by a million barrels per day. And they announced that on a Sunday night too, ahead of their meeting, caught the markets offside, got things moving. Dan, let's dive into that decision a little bit more. What happened there? Give us some insights, please.
Well, I was on a conference call the other day with some guys that really know the global oil market here. They probably handle the hedging business for half of the upstream companies. And anyway, they gave five reasons. And first of all, Saudi Arabia is going to defend $85 Brent. they need that level of oil price in order to balance their budget. And, you know, they don't have the ability to just keep printing more money like we do. And oil is their number one revenue stream. So they are going to protect $85 oil. So now you could set that as your new floor. So that means WTI is, you know, 80, 81 would be a new floor. The other thing is, I think they announced it on a Sunday when the markets were closed. I think they wanted to crush the guys that were selling oil futures short. They wanted to, and they did it. I can tell you that a bunch of these hedge funds that were heavily into shorting oil futures contracts got freaking hammered when they showed up to the office on that Monday. And they had probably margin calls waiting for them. So that's why you got about a $5-6 price increase in the first half of the day on the Monday following that announcement. Now, but the real thing is everybody, all the analysts, Goldman Sachs, Raymond James, everybody, they were all expecting us to be the global oil market to be short of supply by the fourth quarter. Now, what OPEC has done, they've pushed that up to May 1st. Starting May, that's when these road cuts go into effect. And this is a real cut. This is a real production cut. When they took that quote to lower their quotas by 2 million barrels a day, all they were doing was really, for most of that, was just an adjustment to the quotas because two-thirds of the OPEC countries could not meet their old quotas. So they just brought it back to what they were capable of making. That maybe took 500,000 barrels of Saudi oil, maybe UAE, a little bit Kuwait, a little bit. But most of that just adjusted it. Now, this 1.6 million barrel a day cut is really going to take that much supply off the market. Now, probably 500,000 barrels a day is going to be just what Russia was already announcing they were going to do. And then 500,000 barrels a day out of Saudi Arabia. And the rest was, spread to the other Persian Gulf guys. Now, think about this. If you made anything and by selling less of it, you could actually make more money, wouldn't you do that? And I think another reason, because they're getting just as much revenue, but they're selling less oil. I mean, why not do that? Just keep your assets in the ground. The other thing, they wanted to send a clear message to President Biden. He basically promised them he was going to refill the SPR, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, when oil got down into the low 70s. And then they just came out and said, no, they weren't going to do it. Well, they just, changed the rules. And so, Saudi Arabia, which isn't a real fan of Team Biden anyway, they just decided, heck with you. I mean, this is just like, they're flipping the guy off. Tom, we're not going to play that. You're going to play by our rules. And here's the new rule. We're in charge of oil prices. You aren't. I don't see this going anywhere but up. And I see $85 very soon. I see 100 by the end of the year. Raymond James officially raised their fourth quarter forecast to $105 a barrel. They have $95 a barrel for the third quarter. That's their official oil price forecast now.
Well, Dan, it sounds like an overall very bullish setup for the oil sector and, a lot of analysts looking at triple digit. But I'm going to throw just a wild card at you here on the other side of it, just to take the other side of the discussion. And I did see an article out today that the EIA expects an oil surplus despite these OPEC plus cuts, and that they're saying that, global oil production is expected to increase by 1.5 million barrels per day in 2023. So even with these cuts that OPEC's doing, they still see a build. Could that in any way throw off these higher price forecasts?
Is that EIA or IEA?
EIA.
Okay. So that's the U.S. Department of Energy. Guess who signs their paychecks? You have to play that game. You got to remember where the pay comes from. And Department of Energy is based in Washington, D.C., and the guys in charge of Washington, D.C. do not want higher gasoline prices. So just remember that when you read the reports. IEA also has a little bit of that tilt. They're, you have to, sign in blood that you believe in global warming to work at the IEA. But I think their March report was very tight. They were forecasting demand to reach 104 million barrels a day. Well, that's like 3 million barrels a day over what we're producing now, or what the global production is now. Where's that 3 million barrels a day coming in? I'll tell you, it's not coming from the U.S. U.S. production is kind of flatlined here. A lot of our production growth in 2022 came from the completion of duck wells. We had some really good wells in the duck inventory. Duck is drilled but uncompleted wells. These wells were drilled when the oil price was real low. They just cased them. They, you know, put casing into them all the way to the end and just let it sit there, but they didn't perforate those wells. Well, then when the oil price got up to 80, 90 or whatever, they went and completed a bunch of those wells, and that got our production up. But our production peaked in November of 2019 at 12.9 million barrels per day of crude oil. That's black oil, crude oil. And it went all the way down, you know, below 10 for a while. But it's back to like 12.2, 12.3. I don't see it getting back to 12.9 anytime soon. The Bakken is pretty much on decline. The Eagle Ford oil is on decline. Permian Basin's got upside. Powder River Basin in Wyoming, a little bit of upside in DJ Basin in Colorado, but very little, maybe a couple hundred thousand barrels a day more. But there's nothing big on the horizon that's going to shoot U.S. production up to like 14,000 barrels a day or anything like that.
Yeah, it really seems like a different oil market to me, especially when you compare a number of years ago when the U.S. was producing so much oil that they had a bit more control over price. We didn't see OPEC being able to move price as much as they have recently, but I think it all ties into that lack of build-out and lack of focus on producing more oil in the U.S., plus those lower prices put a lot of those fracking plays underwater. And, we're just not seeing that come back online, even though, these frackers should be able to make money in this market. I think a lot of it also ties into that shift more towards green energy. The problem being, we're all still very much dependent on oil, and it seems like OPEC, even Russia, have a bit more control over that market right now. But, hey, that just means there could be higher prices ahead, plus these stocks should continue to do better. But you know what, Dan? We're having you back on next segment. We'll chat a little bit about natural gas, but then we will also very much get into different oil companies that you like on all sides. So everyone, stick around. We are going to be right back with Dan Steffens, continuing to chat about the energy sector, but again, more shifting towards some of the companies.
You're listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to DanPilla.com to order your copy. That's DanPilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Everyone, we're wrapping up the weekend edition, continuing to chat with Dan Steffen, president of the Energy Prospectus Group. Now, Dan, we'll get into some of the oil stocks more particularly that you like, but let's also give a little attention to natural gas. Natural gas is still in a tough position here. Where is natural gas going to find a bottom? Because it is a little off of its bottom, but it was just under $2.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the opposite of what happened in the futures market. When you see a big drop like we've had from $6 in the fourth quarter to $2 or whatever, that's because the hedge funds got over long. You know, we started the winter by mid-December. We were 200 or 300 BCF below the five-year average in storage. We had a cold couple weeks in December, and the hedge funds went very long on long contracts. Well, it's not as big of a market. You know, the global oil market is heavily traded. It's, you know, next to gold, maybe the heaviest traded commodity on the earth. It is, not maybe. But natural gas is a much smaller market. So the real buyers of the natural gas are the utilities that bring gas to your house or use it to generate electricity. And then the guys that make plastics are whatever. Industrial users that either use it for fuel at their factory or else use those molecules to make something else. So that went down. NGLs, there's a surplus of propane now. It's gone down. Yeah. So the gases are at the other end of the spectrum, but those market forces will rebalance that. And we do not have a glut. We have maybe a 200-250 BCF above in storage, what we usually have at the end of the winter, but storage is only 30% or 40% full. I mean, our storage capacity is like 4,500 BCF, billion cubic feet, and there's about 1,800 BCF in there. So there's a lot of storage capacity. It's not like they're not going to start flaring it or anything. You know, right now we're blessed to have so much gas, but, the long-term outlook for gas is extremely bullish because starting in about 18 months, when we get to the fourth quarter of 2024, you're going to see a big ramp up in our export capacity because there's like a dozen LNG export facilities that are back to back to back going to be coming online at the end of 2024 and 25.
Well, Dan, in light of that, when you look at the companies, I mean, a lot of companies are hybrid. They have a mix of, oil, natural gas, liquids, there's also some companies that are pure gassers or some that are more oily names. But oil has bounced nicely, as we just noted, and, you know, there's some good price action there for the companies. But with natural gas, as a contrarian, and with all those LNG plants slated to come on over the next couple of years, would you be looking to pick off companies that are gassers when they're unloved and with all that fundamental growth, or how would you look at it?
Yeah, and the way I look at it, remember, these companies survived like a long period of $2 gas. You know, prior to it running up last year, it was in the $2 to $3 range for a long time, like about 6 or 7 years. We are blessed to have massive natural gas reserves in this country. And if we were smart, we would be using more natural gas for transportation. Forget this EV push. It's never going to do anything to really take down oil demand. If you wanted to take down oil demand, you would mandate, let's say, that half of the big truck, you know, the 18 wheelers on the highway would have to start running on compressed natural gas. That technology has been well known for a long time. There's cars that run on natural gas. There's, you know, there's taxis all over in big cities that run on propane. So, it's got high octane. The engines run cleaner and last longer. And, the only thing is we don't have the delivery system. So you would need to put a bunch of compressed natural gas stations all over the country first. So, that's the argument you get from the trucking companies. But as cheap as it is from an energy standpoint, it would be really lower the fuel cost of these trucking companies. So that would be a way to go. That's another reason I think the long-term potential for natural gas is really there. But they're being okay. They're going to adjust. I follow EQT. They're the largest gas producer in the country. Antero Resources, their symbols, they are. Range Resources actually looks very good because it gets, it was about 30% liquid production. So, they're considered a major gas producer in the Marcellus and Utica, but they all also produce a lot of liquids. So they're going to be fine. And, they had quite a bit of their production hedged anyway. And actually EQT had quite a bit of their production hedged at like $4 heading into this year.
So Dan, what are some of your favorite stocks then? Because look, these energy stocks, they have recovered. That they were already in good position financially after that last run. Where are you focusing? Give us some insights on companies you like, please.
Well, I know you got a lot of listeners up in Canada. I spent the last couple of days, we had Surge Energy down here today hosting a luncheon for her. So I was looking at InPlay, Hemisphere, Crescent Point. I looked at Baytex, announced a big acquisition. Those companies look good. I would put Baytex at the bottom of that list because they're taking on a lot of debt to buy this company, Ranger. They're buying an Eagleford company that I really, really liked. I mean, I liked the deal, but they're taking on quite a bit of debt to do that. But Surge looks very good, pays a nice dividend. InPay plays a nice dividend. That's the way to go. I like the royalty companies. I think that I follow two royalty companies that are very leveraged to oil, have more oil production. That's Sitio, S-I-T-I-O. I don't think I pronounced it. S-T-R is a symbol. They're going to announce a big increase in production because they closed the merger with another one called Brigham Royalties or Brigham Minerals. They closed. So they're going to almost double their production from fourth quarter to first quarter. And then I like Venom, V-N-O-M. It's called Viper Energy Partners. It is a partnership, but they've elected to be taxed as a C corp. So it's not an MLP. It's just a regular C corp for tax purposes. So I like those two a lot.
Well, Dan, what about on the growth side of things as far as companies you see have a bigger than average growth wedge and can really expand where a lot of companies are kind of coasting with what they got? Are there any on the growth side that really have your attention?
Yeah, Surge has got 20% growth, year-over-year growth locked in. They were 20.5 growth last year, and they are look like they're locked in at about 23% year-over-year production growth this year based on their recent acquisition and a pretty aggressive drilling program. They're going to drill about 70 or 80 wells this year, and they got some pretty good stuff and a lot of running room. I really like a company called Earthstone. I think you're going to get the CEO on one of your shows here pretty soon. They're based down here in Houston, and I've known the management team for a decade. Good guys. They really know their stuff. They've never disappointed me from the standpoint of if they tell me they're going to do something, they do it. And they're up to like 104,000 barrels a day of production. It's a good one. I don't think they pay a dividend yet, but I think they are going to start paying dividends.
What about dividend stocks then? Get into some of the dividend stocks that you like, that you think are, well, just quite frankly, some of the better ones, because there's a lot of dividends to be gained right now through the energy sector.
Yeah, I like those royalty companies. Now, the upstream companies that I have in our high yield income portfolio, Coterra, they're more leveraged to natural gas. So right now, I'd put them at the bottom of the list. Their CTRA is a symbol. But, you know, long term, they're very good and they have a super, super strong balance sheet. Pioneer, there's a rumor that Exxon's going to buy Pioneer. It pays a nice variable dividend to get Pioneer, because Pioneer does not need any money. They are a money cash flow machine and pay out about a 9 or 10% dividend yield now. But if it gets into a bidding war for Pioneer, we're talking like a $60 or $70 billion price tag. It'd be one of the biggest mergers ever. And so I think the two candidates for that one are ExxonMobil or Chevron. I've heard is rumored to be interested in it also. If it's and you know, the management team, like the CEO, is 70 years old. Maybe it's just time to cash out or something. I don't know. I like Diamondback a lot. Their symbol is FANG, F-A-N-G. It's a strong growth company and a strong dividend payer. So that's a good one. And I like the, and there's a few midstream companies. The midstream companies are the safest bet. If you're just investing for dividend yield, look at some of the real high quality midstream companies. I happen to like Plains, All American, trades as a C Corp and as a MLP. The MLP is PAA. And the C Corp is PAGP, and they both pay identical dividends, and the dividend yield is like 8-9%.
All right, Dan, we'll wrap it up here, man. Always great information, especially when it comes to the companies. You follow a wide range of companies and separate them for your subscribers in these different categories that I find very valuable. So investors can really select what kind of stocks they are looking for. We'll chat next month, Dan. But again, it was great having you on the show. I look forward to chatting with you soon. Everybody, thank you for tuning in on this weekend show. Remember to go back through our website and podcast. Listen to all those interviews throughout the week and those company updates. And as always, keep in touch with Chad and I through email. Hope you all have a great rest of your weekend. Dan, thanks again for joining us this weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well,
you see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.